Would you turn with me to Psalm number 143 this morning? Psalm number 143 is written by David, and it's in the category of more of a lament and categorized as a penitential. I'm not sure I get that word right. It's always kind of a weird word. Penitence and penitent, penitentiary, those all make sense, but penitential, not something I hear every day, but that's kind of the category. Other psalms that would fit into that, Psalm 6 and 38 and 130 and I think 51, created me a clean heart, O God. I think that's 51. Those are some other ones that fit into that, yeah, 51, fit into that penitent category where there's sorrow over maybe sin. Sorrow over sin, and especially in 51, there's a brokenness and more of a tone of pleading for mercy. So this is one of those, and we'll read through and then hopefully pull together some insight from this, some truth that we can lay hold of for prayer. It says in verse 1, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness, enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore, my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies, and you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul, for I am your servant." Amen. So we see in this psalm, the beginning, there are lots of prayer requests in the psalm. At the beginning, the opener is, "Hear my prayer, hear me, Lord. I need you to hear me now. And I'm pleading with you for mercy. Give ear to my pleas for mercy." And I think it's very important. He says, "And in your faithfulness, answer me, in your righteousness." And you get this sense of sorrow over sin, maybe, or maybe a recognition of sin because of the troubles. He has troubles in the psalm. In verse 3, he's being pursued by an enemy. Probably in this situation would have been Saul. As you know, David had Saul as a major enemy, and others as well, actual people pursuing him. And maybe he's recognizing some error on his part, that he's asking for mercy as well, because he's mentioning, "Answer me in your righteousness." And then he says, "Enter not into judgment with your servant. For no one living is righteous before you." And this is a lot like what you see in Psalm 130. No one living is righteous before God in and of ourselves. So if you look at, you don't have to turn here, but Psalm 130, just a few pages over, the first few verses say this: "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive. to the voice of my pleas. Again, pleas for mercy, pleading for mercy for something I don't deserve from you. I'm pleading. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? With you there is forgiveness that you may be feared. So it's kind of, again, recognition there. If you marked iniquities, no one could stand before you. No one could come to you. No one could be near to you. And you see that here in 143, verse 3, verse 2, enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. Another verse that everyone knows pretty well. Yeah, I marked it here. Psalm 53, verse 3. We'll know this one. I think quoted in Romans 3. There. Psalm 53, 3 says, they have all fallen away. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. So that is our standing before God without God's intervention. That's the best we can come to him with, is like everyone else, unrighteous before him and with sin. We don't have any way to get out of that. And so he's pleading, don't enter into judgment with your servant, or else I'm going to be like everyone else, hopeless. Like, don't answer me with judgment. Answer me. I'm pleading for mercy here. I'm looking for mercy. And this isn't like a flippant, well, everybody's hopeless, so, you know, like these people who, you know, who talk about, well, I'm going to be with my buddies in hell, you know, that gives me some solidarity and companionship. So there's some good people I know who will be there, so that comforts me. This isn't like that sentiment. He's really saying there's just nobody would, if you entered into judgment with me or anyone else, there's nobody who can stand before you. There's nobody righteous in your sight. So there seems to be some recognition of some shortcomings possibly here with David, but he does still have a trouble in light of that, and he needs immediate help regardless of whatever's going on there. He says in verse 3, the enemy has pursued my soul. He doesn't say, they're trying to kill me, I'm going to lose my life here. He says, they're after my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. This is a pretty severe state, and I think it's very relatable for those who are struggling. Those, maybe I get a tone maybe of oppression. We don't have so much people with swords chasing us around today where we live, but we do have an enemy, and we have several, one of which is the devil and principalities, and they're after our soul. And we have the flesh, we have sin to battle. And that's an enemy that can take your soul down, loving the world, loving sinful things. But we're being pursued, and if we can't relate to someone chasing us around with a sword trying to kill us, we can relate to there are evil forces after my soul. There's battle, spiritual battle happening. And if you've been walking with the Lord long enough, you've been in some of those times of oppression where maybe your past is brought and thrown in your face, and you're crushed. You're crushed to the ground. You're brought low. You feel like you don't even know where to find truth as you're looking through God's word. In verse 4, it says, my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. This is a sentiment of, I have really no strength left. I hardly have any hope left. This is so serious, and I'm about to lose grip completely. And I forgot to mention something really important in verse 1, is that David is calling on the faithfulness and righteousness of God. He's not saying anything about himself other than I'm in need of something I don't deserve, and that's the mercy. And I want you to answer me according, not in judgment, but according to your faithfulness. I'm calling upon your faithfulness to me, which I know is very great and unwavering. And I'm calling to you and calling upon your righteousness. Apply, I need your righteousness. He doesn't say, well, I've done a few bad things. It's nothing but mercy is what I need. I have nothing to give you. I just need your faithfulness. And if you're not faithful and if you're not righteous in answering me, I'm done. That's all I have. That's all we all have to call upon God with, is to have any confidence that he'll hear us is completely dependent on his faithfulness to us and his righteousness and what Christ did. It's all tied together. He's not going to put us to shame. He's not going to forsake us, because as Christians, we have a righteousness that was given to us by God, by Christ. But this enemy that David faces, this is a very serious situation. So what does he do with his heart, his spirit fainting? Things are growing dim. And he remembers, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. And so this is kind of like that sentiment of, how do they say it? One look at your sin, a thousand looks to Christ. He's looking at his enemy. He's looking at his trouble. Maybe he's looking at some sin and unworthiness, calling for mercy there at the beginning. And he's then turning and saying, there's some hope here. He's not giving up hope. He's near, his spirit is fainting, but he's not completely abandoned. He's not completely lost here. He's going to remember God and what God did. He's not going to sit there and mope and think about his enemies and why me, and or identify himself maybe according to his shortcomings. He's going to remember the days of old. I'm going to remember what God did for his people. He's going to do that for me. I'm meditating on it. I'm thinking about it for a long period of time. I'm pondering it, wondering about it, probing it, what God has done, and not so much my shortcomings. And it's out of that I'm stretching out my hands to you in verse 6. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. And I think many times when we are going through troubles like this, we're oppressed maybe by spiritual enemies. The Lord uses that to drive us to truth, obviously, if we're in him. If we're not in him, those things will take us down. But if we're in him, he will drive us to his word, his truth. And he will cause us once again to thirst for him and to reach out for the truth that we desperately need. He's in desperate need of God. We've seen those a few times, kind of hilarious with the rain, but a few times I remember growing up, sometimes we wouldn't get rain for a while and you'd see cracks, big cracks start to form in the ground, kind of like that, a parched land. There's nothing growing there. Everything's dead. That's how I'm thirsting for God. I've been driven to this through my troubles. So God will ordain those troubles to draw us to him. So he says, he doubles down. He doesn't just say, if you could please maybe be merciful. It says, I need an answer quickly. Verse 7. Please answer me quickly, because from what I'm seeing, my spirit's failing. I'm about done. And I maybe there's something left, but it's got to come from you, because I'm about finished here. I need a quick answer. Don't hide your face from me. This is dependence on God. Hide not your face from me, or else I'm gone. I'm going to be like those who go down to the pit. I'm finished. I'm completely dependent on you here. And then there's several prayer requests in the psalm that are really good when you're under the gun of trouble, whatever that trouble may be. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. I want to wake up first thing tomorrow after praying this and be comforted in knowledge of who you are. Again, David's not really looking at himself very much here. I need your righteousness. I need your faithfulness. I need you to help me. I'm completely dependent on you. And I want to wake up tomorrow and be just completely consumed with knowledge of your steadfast love, which is the only way I'm going to make it, because I trust in you. And I would expect that from trusting in you. Another prayer: make me know the way I should go. For to you I lift up my soul. The soul that's being chased and oppressed by an enemy, Lord, take that soul. I'm lifting it up to you, and I don't know where to go. I'm on the ground. It's kind of hard to see where you're going if your enemy's got his foot on your neck and you got no vision of what's ahead of you, what's behind you. You're just stretching out your hand, and you got pressure on your neck from an enemy. You can't really have great perspective. Not a good time to start talking about New Year's resolutions and where do we want to see ourselves at the end of 2023. I'm just desperate. I'm reaching. I still have some hope because of who you are. So I need to know where to go. And then a prayer: deliver me. Save me. Deliver me from my enemies. That's directly related to the trouble he's in. I need deliverance. Because I fled to you for refuge. Just this implication that almost like you're the God who gives refuge, so why wouldn't I ask for deliverance? You know, you're the God who directs his children, so why wouldn't I ask you where I should go? Verse 10, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. I want to do what you want me to do. Teach me how to please you. Teach me how to walk in a way that is in accordance with exactly what you want. That's a great prayer for us this morning, even. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. So not only in verse 8, show me where to go, walk with me, let your spirit lead me. I want to stay with me. Keep your presence with me. And just doubling down, keep me on some level ground so I don't fall again too soon. I don't want to be in this rocky trial. He's not too modest to ask God for lots of things here. Answer me quickly. Show me where to go. Stay with me on the journey. And make the ground level for me. And then verse 11. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. Preserve my life is kind of broad, kind of captures a lot of these requests. But look what he says. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. He's in trouble, and the main thrust of this is, I'm in trouble, I need help, and it's bad. A really bad trouble I'm in. And so we talk about a lot, we hear a lot in this assembly about having a reason to pray for what we pray for. And David's been offering that up, and here's the big one is, in your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. He says, for your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. Show yourself righteous in the way you bring me out of trouble. Because I'm your servant. He says that. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies. That's hope. I have an expectation that you're going to take care of me. I'm not going to be crushed under the foot of an enemy. I'm not going to be forsaken. May feel that way. I mean, that verse 3 is something. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. It's not just my soul being pursued on the ground. I'm sitting in darkness. But there's not light. That's a dire state, but he still has hope. Your steadfast love will cut off those enemies that are pursuing me. You will destroy all adversaries of my soul, for I am your servant. Again, it's like, I'm your servant, so you do this. This is my relationship to you. I'm acknowledging that. And you're the kind of God who has steadfast love and faithfulness. You care about your people. And I'm a goner without you. So there's this confidence here, and it's for your name's sake. So that's a way that we can pray some, if we have requests this morning. Lord, for your name's sake, show yourself righteous. We have, it's hard to even say that because God is so, has done such a work for us on the, Christ has done such a work on the cross, but he has given us the ability, the right to ask him, beseech him in this way, to say, Lord, show yourself to be righteous. And not that that's owed to me so much, but I can actually ask you for things that if Christ had not done what he did on the cross and you had not intervened, I'm like all these people we read about in Psalm 130 that no one could stand before you. If you counted iniquities, who could stand? So these are some good prayer requests from verse 8 onward that we can kind of hopefully let influence the way we pray and give us some confidence, especially if you're struggling with sin or struggling with your past popping back up in your face or an enemy trying to define you a certain way other than as completely clean in Christ. Don't let any of that prevent you from praying and from seeking God, because we come to him asking for mercy. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard a prayer prayed that is asking God for something that is not under the category of grace and mercy. And so that's what we do when we pray. And we have a good Heavenly Father who hears us and is this tender with us to actually be merciful to us whenever we, even when we never deserve it, but even when we really feel like we don't deserve it and we're playing this game of merit, and he still is merciful to us. He still is tender with us. He will not let us be, as Christians, he will not let the enemy completely crush us. He will do what it says in verse 12, for his name's sake, his steadfast love will cut off my enemies. So if that enemy is sin, or if that enemy is the flesh or the devil or the love of the world, he's going to cut it off. He's going to finish the good work he started. Amen. Anything we can pray about with this confidence from Psalm 143 that we need to bring up as a group this morning.
Michael Gansberg, is it a hand up?
Looks like, Mr. Michael, you have a hand up. I don't know if you want to, if you have anything.
He's asking to unmute, I think it says.
Oh, unmute?
Yeah, ask to unmute.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. Can you say again? Sorry, we were having trouble hearing.
This is the time where we will come into church and the weather is extremely bad and flooding, so we're going to turn around and go back home.
Don't get that. Oh, okay.
We're on the way to church.
How much you said we're coming to church?
Yeah. I turn around. Okay.
If you go down here to the speaker, click it. You go to job. You got to change the speaker. It's the wrong speaker, so you got to put Jabra.
Oh. Okay. Keep the Darrensburgs in prayer. It sounds like they were prevented from coming to church. Okay. Good work on that sound. Jabra. It's on that one.
It's on Jabra.
Speakers are maybe not. Let's see. Here we go. Okay. Anyone else for prayer?
Dear John, Thomas is on the road to Ottawa. He's accepted a job there.
Okay.
So he's traveling. The weather's so bad. rent him out forever, but he's looking for a house and for a
home. Okay, yeah. Keep them in prayer. Anyone else? Okay. Well, we can spend some time in prayer. Yeah.
Jesse, he messed a little bit.
Yeah.
I got a text a few minutes ago. I he gone into bronchitis when he stopped feeling good this morning. And he's having about a week. I pray for Ashley. She's there's some major trials.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, we can pray for them. Anyone else? Well, why don't we pray? I'll open us up in prayer. And Brother Rich, would you close us when folks are done? Pray as you feel led to pray. Dear God, we come before you again in the name of Christ and confess we are in awe of how amazing you are and how good you are to us, Lord. Lord, if we only had this psalm to understand how you love us and how you protect us and how you keep us from harm and how you have saved us, Lord. We see the gospel in the psalm, just in the psalm, Lord. The wisdom that you have put into your word, Lord. Lord, we praise you for giving us any insight into your word, Lord, that you could open our ears, Lord. We remember a time, most of us, Lord, where we heard your word and it was just words, cheap. We didn't know, we didn't see any treasure at all. We couldn't. But Lord, you have opened our eyes and you've opened our ears, and now we see. We praise you for that. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the song, Lord. And it's inspired us, Lord, to pray and come to you asking for mercy. Lord, we ask for mercy, Lord, for Jesse, and that you would be there for him and help him not to get any worse, Lord, and help him to see your hand in that, that you kept him safe in the sickness. It sounds really difficult, but you would be there for him, minister to him, and that and what Ashley is going through, Lord, that you'd do the same. Lord, that you would show yourself mighty and merciful, Lord, giving to people things they don't deserve, Lord. That's initiated by you. We ask that you would do that in this situation. Lord, we pray for the Darensburgs. Lord, I didn't hear everything they said, but it sounds like they were prevented from coming to church. And I just ask that you would minister to them, help them in the ways they need it right now, Lord. Encourage them. Lord, lift up the situation that was brought up with Thomas and family, Lord, that you would provide for them, Lord, as they travel, that you would protect them. Lord, we lift up our loved ones, Lord, that don't know you, that we pray that you would do the same thing you did for us and open their eyes to see you high and lifted up, Lord, to see you the right perspective, to be convicted of sin and to repent and to lay hold of you, Lord, that you would clothe them with your righteousness. Lord, we pray for this morning that you would be here with us, that you would direct our time, what we say, what we do, that we would, it would be pleasing to you, Lord, that we wouldn't sit here because we're supposed to be at church on Sunday, Lord, but that we would sit here because we are hungry to understand more about you, that we are desperate for the life, Lord, that you provide in your word, Lord, that we want to understand more of your nature, more of who you are. So we pray that you'd help us to have that reasoning for sitting here together this morning, Lord. Lord, we pray that we wouldn't just sing because everybody else is singing, Lord, but that we would have a song in our hearts because we love you, because we are praising your wonderful attributes, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would lead us and guide us. In Christ's name.
Father, thank you for your mercies on us, even thus far this day, Lord. Giving us strength to our bodies to bring them here. Lord, we're reminded that many times our souls are in distress, but thank you, Lord, this morning that these souls that you've given us, dear God, that will live forever. God brought us here this morning, these bodies that are decaying, some of us more quickly than others. But you've given us a reasonable and a good amount of help, dear God, to accomplish all of your will and your ways in the years that you've given us. Dear God, this is a wonderful psalm that you've given us to meditate on and, Father, to apply, to enter into, to, Father, to rejoice in, because you are faithful, dear God, to bring us through these things. Those of us who have been here in this psalm, Father, know how faithful you are, how good you are to us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you are true to your word, as mentioned, that you, Lord, who have begun a good work in us, will bring it to completion. Dear God, how wonderful and merciful and gracious you are. Lord God, what many times we may think as a duty, dear Lord, I pray you change it to a delight. Father, I pray that we would do all the gracious and wonderful things that you've given us to partake in as your children, dear God, that we would rejoice always. We'd be thankful for all things, in all things, at all times. Lord God, your providences are good. The trials you give us, dear God, are good. Help us to count it all joy when we walk in these things. Help us to know that it's a wonderful thing to be given endurance, for our faith to be tested, to that we might, Father, please you. We might walk in a manner worthy of the calling by which we've been called. Let us put off sin, Lord, these sins that so easily beset us, sins of unbelief, sins, bad attitudes, Lord, bad, Lord, even not good thoughts about you. Sometimes we question your goodness and your kindness and your loving tenderness and mercies toward us, dear God. Help us to grab those things quickly, Lord, and change our minds that we might see, Father, that they're sinful and they're not worthy of our calling. Yet we're tempted, Lord. Sometimes it's real hard not to fall into those temptations. We don't understand your ways, Lord, but we need to many times the most. But like David here, Father, what a wonderful psalm, Father, that he just kept coming after you, Lord. And you, like the Syrophoenician woman, dear God, how he may have felt, Lord, that you had abandoned him, but he kept pursuing you. You kept him coming like the Lord Jesus does to us and for us. Your spirit you've given us, Lord, you've made us partakers of the divine nature. Lord, in a sense, we can't but cry out to you because we've got a new nature that hungers and thirsts after you. And Lord, you're good to draw us, to be merciful in that drawing, kind. request, Lord, here today for safety of those in travel, Lord. There's a lot of water out there, Lord, as you know. Thank you for this rain, Father. You're good in sending it. Help us not grumble in your ways. Oh God, you're so good. You're so good to us through Jesus Christ, your Son. Thank you, Lord, for the rejoicing we can have in you today through song, through your word, through fellowship. Pray for my son, Stephen, dear God, who's moving back here to New Orleans. I pray to God that this will be a providence that may end up in his conversion. Though there's no sense of any interest in Christ whatsoever in his life. You know his heart, Lord. You can give him a new one. We pray this for all of our children, dear God. Help us not be so foolish to think that our children, many, most, some, are totally separated from you and going to hell. Bless you, Lord. They may show an interest at times. They may show some restraint in their sinfulness at times. Lord, but apart from a new birth, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, they remain lost, dead in trespasses and sins, and just fodder for the fires of hell, dear God, prepared for the devil, his angels, and all the ungodly. Grant them faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to speak your word, to preach, to put the truth before them in their need of great Savior. A great Savior for great sinners. Where grace abounds, where sin abounds, grace abounds. Tune our hearts to sing your praise this morning, for you're worthy of it, dear God. Lord Jesus, you are a wonderful Savior, Holy Spirit, a great God who continues to comfort us, encourage us, take the promises, help us to remember them. Father, you're good. Thank you for this exposition this morning, the comfort, strengthening of our hearts as it provides. In Jesus' name.